is Scout vs. Scout, a Fantasy Hockey Scouts.com podcast. Now here are the guys themselves, Jay and Cam.
Welcome to another episode of Scout vs. Scout. I'm Jay, and I'm with Cam. How you going, Cam?
I'm doing well, Jay. Thanks for having me.
So what are we going to talk about in today's episode?
Well, I thought we'd take a look back at our preseason guides, the Fantasy Scouting Report, the Breakout Bible, and maybe pick out a couple hit or misses that we had. Take a look back and just, reflect on how we did.
Reflect. Sounds very nice. Let's do it. You want to go first?
It sounds very pleasant, doesn't it?
It does.
Let's hope it doesn't get nasty. So yeah, one that I noticed, and I think this is kind of a miss for both of us, and a miss for pretty much everybody that does any kind of fantasy hockey prognostication. Dustin Byfuglien from Atlanta. We had him, when we first did the FSR, we had him as a forward at that point in time when he was still expected to play forward in Atlanta, and we had him for about 35 points, and then they moved him back to defense, and I think we dropped his projection down to about 29 points, I think is what we thought. So yeah, we thought the move to Atlanta wasn't going to help him too much, and he'd miss playing with guys like Taves and Kane, and it just hasn't really gone so well for the projection so far this year. So, you got any justification for that, Jay?
He's pretty much a 0.4 points per game player coming into this year, other than the playoffs. So we thought this is a perfect opportunity where everyone was going to start overvaluating him because he did so well in the playoffs, playing with Taves and Kane, of course, and now he's going to Atlanta, potentially playing defense on a team a lot less talented. I was expecting him to actually go down from last year's totals of 34 points, as you mentioned. So the fact that he's already topped last year's totals is a big, big surprise for me. I think the thing that we really kind of missed the ball here, too, is we were actually warning people off of Byfuglien. A lot of other sites were kind of saying, oh, yeah, he's could be a defense, this is could be a good pick. So they were kind of talking up a little bit. Obviously, they weren't projecting this, but I think we were kind of going the other way, and it's definitely our biggest mistake of the year, I'd say.
I was definitely shying away from him in drafts this year. I didn't really expect much from him, but easily the top fantasy defenseman this year is on pace for almost 70 points, could have about 75 PIMs and 334 shots, which is like an unheard of number. So it's been unbelievable. Unbelievable season and unbelievable miss from us.
Yeah. If it makes us feel a little bit better, though, to know he's got 0 points in his last six. So, maybe if he doesn't score another point for the rest of the year, well, we won't look too bad.
let's hope he gets shut out.
All right, I'm feeling a bit bad after that, Cam, so I'm going to give you a nice one that we picked that was well. This is pretty much known around the site for any regular readers. Your love of Logan Couture. We are in a joint league where we owned Logan last year, and I wasn't really sure we should keep him. I thought he'd be the third-line center all year. Didn't think he'd really bring a lot of value. Thankfully, you talked me into keeping him, and he's going on to have a potentially a Rookie of the Year season.
Yeah, it's been awesome so far. So, yeah, I was really high on him last year. Last year's AHL season, I think, was really underrated. He had 53 points in 42 games, and, I think playing – he played 25 games in the AHL last year, so I think the fact that he only had about half a season in the AHL really really soured people on him, I guess. They just didn't really notice the numbers. If he had played a full season in the AHL last year, he would have close to 100 points in the AHL as an AHL rookie, which is a pretty crazy number. So I was high on him there, and then he stepped up in the playoffs last year in San Jose, only had 4 goals, but played 15 games in the playoffs and played regularly. So I kind of thought that Todd McLellan was going to use him quite a bit, probably start in the third line, but potential to move up and play on, a couple of great lines in San Jose. And he's done it more. He hasn't needed anybody else's help. He's done it himself. He stepped up to the second line, had good chemistry with Ryan Clough so far, and has even stepped up on different lines with Thornton and Heatley lately too. So, he's on pace for about 35 and 52 points right now, so that would be fantastic.
I think the real big feather in our cap too is that we projected him for the highest total out of any of the major fantasy publications. So they were way low on him, but it looks like we're gonna hit bang on right now.
Yeah, he's right around where we had him. We had him about 49 points, so his 52 point pace right now is perfect. So.
All right, good stuff. You
just like the rest of those girls. All right, Jay. Well, since you were kind of nice to me about the Logan Couture one, I picked out one that I thought you were instrumental on, and that was Curtis Foster's breakdown this year. You know, he had 42 points last year playing on a pretty good power play in Tampa, and going over to Edmonton, I don't think we really believed that he was going to come anywhere close to that. So you had him, you were pretty adamant on a big breakdown for him. We had him down at projected for 29 points after 42 last year. So I'm loving that pick by you.
Yeah, it's actually a little bit surprising too, because last year he was one of my big breakout picks. So you think I would have a little bit of a soft spot in my heart for him, but
You're in tune. You're in tune with him. So you had him for the breakout last year and the breakdown this year, man.
That's right. If I could project all players like I project Foster, I'd be a genius. I didn't like the move at all to Edmonton for him. I thought he went from a fantastic power play to one that was going to be average at best. And he also had Ryan Whitney around too, somebody who probably had a little bit more talent than him, where he was the definite power play quarterback in Tampa. So there's a lot of things that I didn't like. He's also pretty injury prone. So I stayed away from him in every league. I never even considered him. And I see here we project him for 29 points. I actually look back at that. I'm surprised that we even gave him that high. I guess we were being feeling a little bit nice that day. And it's turned out pretty good. He's been healthy scratched lately. He only has 11 points so far, I think. Probably, you know, on pace for about 20. So he's not getting it done at all.
Do you think he's going to be able to do anything in the second half?
No, I don't think so at all. Like, as we mentioned on the site, a lot of people were thinking that with Whitney out, Foster would step up, but he's already getting a ton of PP time already, so there's nothing really more that they can do. And with him getting healthy scratched, and I don't think he's a point in like 11 games or something, you know, the signs aren't looking good.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, well, let's go to a negative pick for you. I probably
what?
Was... Yes, I know it happens.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was probably on board with this one a little bit more, but he was definitely one of your big picks this year. Marty Turco was projected for 39 wins. WTF.
Ouch. Yeah, I was pretty big on him going to Chicago. I just thought, you know, Chicago being a really good defensive team, especially last year, that, you know, it didn't matter. I mean, Turco hasn't been that great in a while with Dallas, but I thought it wouldn't really matter. You know, he could step in there. He wouldn't put up maybe great peripheral numbers, but he'd just, like, rack up the wins like it was going out of style. But, yeah, it hasn't quite happened that way. He's only got 10 wins so far, and he's basically a full-time backup now to Corey Crawford because Crawford's totally outplayed him, and Crawford's been very steady. So yeah, it's been a big mess. All right, Jay, well, why don't we do a good one for you? One that I noticed was Marty Havlat is the top breakout candidate on Minnesota. So we projected him for 57 points, but you kind of made a note of him as the top breakout candidate, said that, you know, based on the year before, if you take out some bad streak that he had, you know, he's playing at about a 73-point pace. So you even mentioned that you thought a 20-point increase isn't impossible. You even said that in the FSR, so... and right about now, he's on pace for about a 20-point increase from the prior year. So I gotta give it up to you.
I love guys when they have these big, huge slumps in the middle of a season. I know Ryan Kessler and Christopher Stieg are two guys that come to mind this year that have the same thing, where they had really poor slumps to start the year. It makes their numbers look so bad, but really when it comes down to it, you know, that's just a bad slump. And yeah, it could happen again this year, you know, or going forward, but you'd really expect that a player is going to play at a consistent level. You know, especially if they're an NHL player. So when you see a player get only 3 points in 16 games and the rest of the games are playing at a 73-point pace, I love picking guys like that. So fortunately, I didn't get to grab Havlat in any leagues this year. But I definitely thought that there's a good potential of a jump there, and he's proven me right.
All right, over under Havlat points on the season, 65.
Yeah, that's probably right around where I pick him, so it's a tough call. But I'm going to say over. I think he's going to get in between 65 and 70.
Yeah, I like the over too.
Cool. All right, Cam, let's stay on the positive trend here, and we'll talk about one of your bigger successes this year, Jamie Benn for the Dallas Stars. You were actually expecting more than what he's doing now. So I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. You're actually hoping he'd get 66 points. And I think probably the only reason he's really not at that pace yet is he started out the first couple months of the year on the third line. And as we said in the FSR, Ben will eventually move up to a scoring line role, and when he does, he'll be prime breakup material. I think you're hoping that would happen a little bit earlier in the year, but eventually Dallas figured it out, and he's going really, really well lately. So that pick's looking really good. Even though he's on pace for only 55 points, I think he could easily get to 60.
Yeah, because he's really picked it up lately. Yeah, he started – like the word in Dallas is that they want him to play center probably next year when one or both of Richards and Rivero are gone. So the idea was that they were going to play him third-line center this year. But I kind of thought there was opportunities that he'd jump up on the other lines, you know, play with one of those great centers and put up some points this year. So yeah, and it's lately he's really picked it up. Like over his last 14 games now, he's at a point of game pace with 5 goals, 9 assists. So he's picking it up. He, you know, throws a lot of pucks on net, which I really like. That's what really caught my eye last year was, you know, as a rookie, you know, he had, you know, I think he was maybe third in the league for rookie shots, I think. So 22 goals, 182 shots last year was pretty impressive. So I'm feeling pretty good about that one. It would be nice, you know, 55-point pace I think could be a little bit higher. It would be nice if he got up to about 16. I'd feel pretty good about that. So.
No, it was a good one. Yeah, I own him in a couple leagues, and he's doing well. I really like him lately, too. So good pick, Cam.
Thank you. I might be a fan of your insolence, but that don't
make you the innocent. You're just like the rest of those girls. I have a feeling a bad one's coming here.
Yeah, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I read the San Jose entry in the FSR and noticed that you had Ryan Klo as the biggest breakdown candidate on the Sharks. So here's what you wrote. I'll quote you here. The points aren't the problem. He'll likely get another 50 to 55. The problem is Klo picked up 131 PIMs last year, 80 more than the year before. Draft him expecting 50 to 70. What's he on pace for right now, Jay?
He's on pace for 120 PIMs.
How many points?
Oh, the points, he's on pace for a whopping 65 points.
Yeah, so he's having a monster season.
It's a good year, yeah, don't get me wrong. I guess I was surprised, like, for a couple of years now in the NHL, he's just shown himself to be, you know, about a 0.7 points per game player. So about a 55-point guy. He's done that the last couple of years in San Jose. And last year's explosion in penalty minutes just kind of came out of nowhere. And I figured that's not something that's going to kind of continue. Why would a player be getting, you know, 50, 70 penalty minutes, and then all of a sudden their PIMs double? So this was just kind of a straight-up numbers one. I looked at it. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. Still doesn't make a lot of sense to me why he's getting all these penalty minutes. But, you know, especially with him scoring a lot more, you think the Sharks would try to keep him out of the box. But, you know, fantasy owners aren't complaining. He's having a great year. 200. He's on pace for over 200 shots, too. So definitely should not have been in that breakdown column. My bad.
Yeah, well, you know why he's exploding this year.
No.
Because he's playing with Logan Couture.
Of course. So is he protecting Logan? Is that why he's getting all these penalties?
I mean, he's got quite a few majors. I was looking at his PIMs the other day, and it's, you know, some guys, they have maybe a big PIM number because they've had, you know, a couple big explosions, and they've had a couple of, you know, match penalties or 10-minute misconducts, but he's
like
winning it all.
Danny Beer is a good example of that.
Right, yeah. But Klo's doing it the hard way. He's getting it with fights and, you know, with roughing minors and, you know, he's putting up 5, 7 a lot of games and stuff like that. So he's doing it the hard way and yeah, he's just having a huge all around fantasy season.
Well, it looks like he's changed his game a little bit the last 2 years. I figured last year was the outlier, but it looks like it's becoming the trend now. So, you know, yeah, like I said, my mistake. All right, well, that one hurt a little bit, so I'm going to come back at you with one of your big fails. Probably the second biggest after Buffalo breakout this year was from Andrew Ladd, and he didn't even make your top 50 list in the breakout Bible. What's going on, Cam?
Not a fan of this guy at all, really. Like, I think he's very overrated. You know, being picked fourth overall was a total stretch by Carolina, and Yeah, he had a good year in his draft year. You know, he had 30 goals, 75 points playing in the WHL. But ever since then, he's like never done anything. He's never had over 20 goals in any season since then. He's never had more than 50 points in any season since then. So I didn't really see it coming this year, especially going to a team like Atlanta that, you know, didn't really seem to be a great fit for him. But you know, I got to give it up to him because he's been, you know, pretty much other than maybe Giroux and Dubinsky, lads like the biggest breakout forward going. So he's kept it up. I mean, he had a bit of a struggle there, but now he's back up with you know, he's had a 6-game point streak with 7 points lately. So he's picking it up again, and he could very well, you know, go over 60 points this year.
All right. Well, we definitely did make many more successful picks and many more unsuccessful picks, but those are some of the ones that stood out for us. I hope you enjoyed hearing about them. And, yeah, if you have any comments about it, leave them in the bottom of the post, and thanks.
All right. Take it easy.
See you again.